You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 5 p.m. service! Woo! Welcome to our campus Sunday. If you are here for the first time and you're wondering where this energy is coming from, it's coming from our students. So if you're a student here, why don't you make some noise? Yan! All right, we're just so excited about this Sunday. This is a special Sunday we dedicate to what our heart beats for, which is the next generation. As a movement, it has always been our heart, which is to reach out the next generation. Now, by the way, my name is John. I'm one of your incoming campus missionary. At last, after how many years of waiting for this, and I'm just so glad to be here and share to you our heart as a movement about the next generation. Now, I just want to take time just to honor some people that make campus ministry all the more enjoyable here in this city. This is the campus team, okay? So that's Mav, that's me, Tom, Haya, Genty, and Nats. You see, they could have been somewhere else embracing other profession that could probably make them the best at what they are and what they have graduated. But again, they chose to be here simply because we all believe that there is so much more in the next generation that God wants to do in them, and God can use the next generation to actually change the world. And I just want to honor our campus director for leading us. Tom, we just want to honor you for leading the team. You know, you're doing a great job in leading our team. With your leadership, I believe that we will be able to reach out the campuses here in this city. So we're just so excited for today. If you are wondering who we are basically Every Nation Campus. We are the campus arm or the youth arm of Victory. And we are passionate about preparing students for life, for leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence. And our heartbeat will always be change the campus, change the world. So now, before I jump into the discussion or the topic, why don't we do something different right now, you know, some interaction with a person seated next to you. Share one dream you had when you were a child. Just talk to your seatmate. Share. What was that dream when you were a child? Ayan. Okay, share ha, share. It could be one word. Ayan, yung iba nag-iiyakan na, parang, alright, sige. Who among you here are seated next to a person who had a dream when he was a child to be a doctor? Ayan. Or seated next to a person who dreamed to be an astronaut? Ayun. Or someone seated next to the person who dreamed to be a scientist? Ayun, okay. You see, we all have different dreams, right? You know, when we were younger, you want to be this. Why? Because along the way, while you were growing up, somehow or some way, you met someone that could probably have influenced the way you think, the way you live, and the way you want to perceive life. Now, I just want to share to you a little bit of my dream when I was young. When I was young, I really, really admire Michael Jackson, especially when he sang Changing Worlds, making an impact to poor people or younger children. You know, back when I was young, I always had that desire that I can make a difference in this world. We all have dreams and we all have visions for our future. Who among your parents here? Proud parents? And I believe you guys have a dream and vision for your children, right? I mean, you don't just want them to be somewhere else that you don't want them to be. I'm pretty sure you are willing to sacrifice everything you have right now to see them at their best. And not just having dreams and vision, but most of our dreams and vision, we also desire to make an impact wherever you are. It may be in your school, in our families, or in this nation. And we all know that in order for those dreams to happen and come true, we need to make a move, and it should make an impact. You see, if your dream does not imply a life change or it does not influence someone else's life, then I tell you, your dream is too small. Your dream is too selfish. God gives us these dreams so that we can influence someone and we can change someone else's life. That's why we're having this standalone discussion of impact. Because we believe that not only the next generation, but all of us
can make a difference in this world. All of us can make a change. Look at the person seated next to you. Okay? Pwedeng world changer. All right? Let me tell you this. That person seated next to you may look like just that, but guess what? God has a massive destiny for that person. God has trusted that person a dream and a vision that can actually make a change wherever he is or she is right now. We're talking about dreams and vision here. As a movement, Victory, Every Nation, we also have vision and dreams as well. More specifically, we have a life-changing, world-changing dreams and visions for the next generation. We've always been saying this time and time again during our services. That's the reason why we keep inviting young students to our youth services. That's why we create avenues for students to join us and to encounter Christ, because we have a dream for them, and we dream to see them being transformed eternally by the message of the gospel and making an impact wherever God may put them. That is our heartbeat. We're not just making an event so that we can feel good on Sunday, we can feel good on Fridays, but we're making this as an opportunity for the message of the gospel would be deposited into our lives. And when we come out of this place, we become a blessing to someone else's life. This dream, though, are faced with difficulties, right? You know, who among you here have dreams that, you know, I want to be a doctor. But the moment you grew up, the moment you started having your own personal desires, you can choose there and then situations happen, you have a struggle in your finances, and you start giving up on your dream. Now, most of the times, our dreams will always face an obstacle, an opposition. And you know what? In the same way, even with our dreams, even God's dream for the next generation is faced with opposition. That is why, though this faced with difficulties and challenges, we will face this head on, because this is what God has called us to do. There's always going to be God's vision for the next generation versus the world's vision for the next generation. That is why today we're going to look into someone's life in the Bible which God gave him a vivid dream, a very tangible dream. But the moment he starts living and embracing that dream, it somehow disconnects to what God gave him. And we're talking about the life of Joseph. Now, just want to give you a background. Joseph was 17 years old when he was introduced to us in the Bible. And immediately, we see something interesting about him, right? The Bible introduced him as Joseph, and we see him having these dreams. It says that Joseph gave a bad report about his brothers to their father. So, si Joseph, may pagkasumbungiro. So, when he goes to his brother, wala siya gitrabaho, so he will sumbong it to his papa. And the reason why his siblings don't like him. Not only that, Joseph, he's the 11th, and he was the son of Rachel, Jacob's second wife. And in the scripture, he had dreams. That's why he's known as Joseph the Dreamer. And his first dream was this pile of ilahang harvest. And he was saying this to his siblings and to his father that, I had this dream. You know what, guys? We were gathering this hay, and then there's a bundle of hay. Your hay, kuya. His hay. It was in circle, and mine was on the center, and yours started bowing down to my harvest. And everyone will start laughing. What? So you're telling us that one day we will bow down to you. No way. You are the second youngest in the family. That's not going to happen. And that's why ginabuli siya sa maigsoon. On the second night, he had another dream about the stars, the sun, and the moon bowing to him. Him being the center of that. And then he shared that to his family again, and then you know what happened. You know, gibuli na po siya because hambugiro kay siya. Though it wasn't stated in the Bible that he was arrogant or he was prideful, but the manner of how he communicated it, it was in that way. Now, let's jump into this verse, Genesis 39:1. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian's master, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had from the time that he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. Now, as we are going to talk about impact, we're going to talk about someone's life. I shared to you his background. So after he had a series of dreams, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with his story. His brother threw him into a den. His brother wanted to kill him. That's how much they hated Joseph. But one of his brother decided not to kill him, but instead decided to sell him. Kasi naay ni aging merchant, and then they sold him to that merchant, and that merchant sold him to Egypt. So that's how he ended. And then we started off by looking at how, even though Joseph had to go through that season in his life, he was able still to do what God has called him to do, which is to make impact and influence in wherever he was. So basically, today we're going to learn characteristics of how it looks like to be someone who can actually influence the world. You see, you may be just coming from a poor family. You're saying, nah, I'm just from the province. I'm just from here. My family's just this. That my family's background is just this. But let me tell you this, that you have that power to actually change not just your situation, not just the people around you, but actually God has given you the power to change the world. And we're going to learn these characteristics. If we're going to embrace this, as Joseph embraced this, I believe that we can actually make a difference in this world. Firstly, Joseph embraced the idea of leadership. Genesis 39, 4 and 5 says here, so Joseph found favor in his sight, talking about his master, and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. You see, even though Joseph had to go through some tough times, even though seemingly impossible, that how can I make an impact where I am right now? I'm not in my comfort zone. I am not where I should be. This is not my culture. This is not my people. But Joseph understands something here, that God has called him to make a difference wherever he is. God will not just use you where you are, but even if you are in a situation that seems impossible to make a difference, but when you learn to trust God, God can actually make and turn you into something that you won't expect. You see, Joseph understood a different kind of leadership. The world tells us that when you are a leader, you should be a demanding person, or you should make commands and all that. But if there's one thing we understand here, is that he put him in charge of all that he had, and then he served his boss. The leadership that Joseph understood was that leadership is not about position, but an opportunity where we can serve God and others. He understood that the way to leadership is actually through service. It's not when we be in a position, a leader na ka. Leadership has nothing to do with position. Leadership has nothing to do with title. But leadership is the issue of the heart, that us willing to serve others for the benefit of God. God tests us as servants before he can promote us to being leaders. God is not in a hurry of making you in a position where you can actually lead. God would have to put you in process. God even placed Jesus in a process for him to be announced as his beloved son. Because if there's one thing we need to understand, God is always in the process of cultivating character in us before he puts us in a position of leadership. Because why? God has to change us first, because God has in mind people that he also wants to change through us. That's why Joseph has to go through that much pain, that much problems and issue, because God is changing him. You see, one of the essential elements of leadership and growth is patience. Sometimes God has to put you in a waiting list. Why? Not because he's saying no to his promises to you, but he is actually building you up for greater things. Why? Because when God gives you the greater things and your knees is not ready, God knows that you will just crumble and fall. And that goes the same with Joseph. God has to bring Joseph to a season of pain, even if the vision and dream was so vivid, because God was working on his character. He was 17 years old when God took him out. And it took him 11 years. He was 30 years old when he got his first promotion. 11 years, imagine that. God is in the habit of creating leaders not on microwaves, but on the process of oven. Microwaves, you can cook food for 2 minutes. Well, if you bake, you know what I'm talking about. Baking will take you so much time. In the same way with God, creating us to be the leader that he wants us to be. God will bring us in a season of waiting, in a season where we will be tested in our patience. And that's what happens to Joseph. Not only was Joseph embracing the value of leadership, but he also embraced the value of excellence. Genesis 39:5-6, it says here, from the time that he made him overseer in the house, over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. It says here, he made him overseer in the house over all that he had. Imagine this with me. Joseph was not an Egyptian, but he was trusted to take care of the house. More than that, it says here, so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Imagine that with me. Imagine the responsibility given to Joseph. Why? Because he was excellent. When we do our job excellently, you know, our boss, our teacher would be so confident to give this task to us. If you are a leader, or have you been a leader to a group, diba, sa inyong class, sa inyong group meetings, would you entrust a responsibility to someone who's absent? I don't think so. You would always trust a responsibility to someone you have already tested and tried. Those people who've excelled in what they do, you will trust them to do that thing. Joseph simply served. He chose to serve excellently. That he wasn't grumbling and complaining, I don't deserve here, God. Sometimes we're like that, right? Sometimes when God puts us in a situation that's painful, sometimes when God puts us in a situation where God says, wait for me, we say, I don't deserve to be here, God. I don't deserve to be in this situation. Because I've been faithfully serving you. I've been faithfully making disciples. I've been faithfully leading my victory group. Why do I have to wait? Why do I have to be in this season? Why do I have to experience this kind of pain? But Joseph, on the other hand, simply stayed where God brought him and served. Not just serve, but believe and gave his best and served excellently. And he became all the more makita siya ni Potiphar because of his excellence. And because of that, Potiphar saw something different from him than anyone in the house. That's why he was able to trust. You see, excellence is not us being perfect, but it's simply giving our best to meet the needs of others for God's glory and never for our recognition. Excellence is when we give our all to benefit others for the glory of God. You see, in a place where Joseph was a slave, where he didn't know anybody, he could just have chosen to live in mediocrity. But no, he still chose to serve excellently. He gave his best for God. And guess what? It was God who gave him his success. In the same way with all of us. You know this saying, give your best and the rest, leave it to God. I don't believe in that. So you will do it. Tapos pag tapos ka na, oh God, ikaw na. Hindi. Tapusin mo. And as you continue doing and serving it, even if nagkapoy-kapoy na ka, trust that God is with you. God is empowering you. God is transforming you as you continue to do it. It's not like, Lord, pagod na ako, and I stop from here. No, you move on. That's why I don't believe in that, when you do your best, God will do the rest. No, when you do your best, God will honor you. God will be proud of you. Third one, Joseph uphold the highest integrity. When it comes to his relationship with God, it was his integrity that we can see na parang, whoa, Joseph is really different from everyone. It says here, now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. Among you seated here to someone who is handsome, okay? By faith, okay? By faith, diba? By faith is something you do not see, you're certain of what you hope for. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Now, it's not just the physical appearance that attracted Potiphar's wife, but it was actually his excellence. It's actually how good he is at what he does. That's all the more made the wife of Potiphar excited or want him, okay? But here's an amazing thing that he did, but he refused. Just want to give you a picture of Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife is an Egyptian, and during this time, Egyptians are the most beautiful women there is. Why? Because they started cosmetics. So imagine with me, oh, probably the eyelashes of this wife would be as big as a fan that you're holding right now, that to the point that when it flicks, okay, malpalid mo, okay? Imagine with me, ang foundation, if you're from there, I can feel it from here. You know, that intensive. Potiphar's wife was beautiful. And here's the thing, Potiphar is in the highest position of leadership. Kumbaga, he is the chief of all the police in Egypt. And if you are in that position during the time, you will always be given the best in the land, even for your wife. So imagine with me, that's why when he said he refused, you're not saying, ah, it would be easier if ganito ang babae. It would be easier for Joseph to say no because siguro not his preference. But no. The woman that was enticing Joseph was so beautiful. And here's what Joseph responded. Genesis 39, 6 and 10 says here, said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he has kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. And here's how amazing Joseph responded in this story. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was not concerned about what his boss will look at him or what people would look at him or view him. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we are so concerned about what other people say. We're so concerned about what our boss will say. We're so concerned about what our classmates will say, our teachers will say, our friends will say. But let me ask you this and challenge you. Are you concerned about what God has to say about your life? I hope and pray that we will be people that we would learn to shut up and learn to cover our ears about what other people has to say about us. And we will be more concerned about what God has to say about us. Because what they will say about us is just temporary. But what God thinks about us is for eternity. And it will always bring us to a greater value. It will always bring us to someone to change their lives when we learn to trust what God has to say about us. And true enough, being in this world where we are dictated how we should present ourselves, we are dictated how we should act, how we should live our lives of men and women. Magazine would say this is how you should look like. Music says that this is how you should live your life. But I hope and pray that we would learn to value God's word and go to God's word and embrace what God has to say about who we truly are. Because the truth of the matter is, our purpose can only be found in the one who created us. We can never find our purpose somewhere else. And that is so true. See, Joseph was more concerned of what God has to think about him. His priority was his relationship with God. And I hope and pray for all of us that when circumstances meet us along the way, our desire to honor God outweighs our desire to satisfy our temporary pleasure. And in his heart, he wouldn't dare sin against God. Genesis 39:11, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house was there in the house. Allow me to paint a picture, was tired. And he was working. You know, when you're tired, most of your defenses are down, right? Sometimes when you're tired, you're easily irritated. You cannot control your emotion. Katong mga walay tulog. Especially if you're gutom. gamayng bikil, nagubot na. And that's the same way with Joseph here. You see, Joseph, it says here, none of the men were there. In other words, Joseph was alone. Here's a crazy thing. If you read your Bible about the story of Joseph, the wife of Potiphar was constantly bugging Joseph to sleep with him. It was not just a one-time invitation, but it's an everyday invitation that the wife gets an opportunity of. That's how interested she is with Joseph. You see, Joseph embraced integrity at the highest level. That's why integrity is who you are when no one is looking. Question is, who are you when no one's looking? When you are on your own room with your laptop, who are you? What are you streaming? What are you watching? Does that honor God? When your leader is not there and you are with your friends, what do you talk about? Will that honor God? When you are with your best friends, what do you talk about? Do you gossip? Because wala niyo leader. It's easier for us to say no to sin when people are around us, right? It's easier for us to say no to sin, no to temptation when our leaders are around us. People may not be able to see what you're doing in secret, but God does. And ultimately, I hope that our desire to honor God, even in secret, is higher or much weightier than our desire to gratify our sinful pleasure. You see, integrity is who you are when nobody sees you. And what you plant in secret, God will always reveal that in public. Not because He wants to shame you, but He wants to restore you and to bring you back to your purest relationship with God. But the question here is, what are you investing when no one is watching you? Are you investing in a relationship with God more than anything else? And here's the amazing thing. After what happened because of the desire of the wife of Potiphar, wala na. But here's the response of Joseph. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and go out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house. You see, here's the amazing thing. Joseph was alone. The wife had all the opportunity to do whatever she wants. And the moment she came near, Joseph, where are you? The moment she was there near Joseph, Joseph knew one thing. I will not argue with her. I will not debate with her. I will not talk her out of doing these things to me. Because I know I'm just going to give in anyway. So what he did, he fled. He got away and went to a place where maybe there were more people so that she couldn't pursue him anymore. 2 Timothy gives us a picture about this one. It says here, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace along those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Along those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. I want to give you an illustration here, a picture. Rolls Royce, a very expensive car brand. Now, there was this one interviewer. She has a Rolls Royce and she only had one question. There were 3 interviewees, and she asked the first one. The question is, how far can you get into the brick wall without getting my car a scratch? The other one says, madali lang po yan, ma'am. Mga 1 or 2 feet, mga ana. Then pagkahuman, ano itong other one? Siya, mine, I can do it in 6 inches. So, oh, wow, impressive. And the last one said, ma'am, di ko ata kaya mga ganun, ma'am. Ang mahal-mahal ng sasakyan, I think I will go as far as I can. Hindi lang ma-scratch ang car mo. And guess who got the job? Of course, it's the third one. Sometimes we are like that when it comes to our sexual pleasures. With the temptations and the invitation of sin. Sometimes we play around, get near it. Kasi, andun naman si God eh. I can go back so easily. But you know what? God's challenge, just like Joseph, his response was, he flee from it. He did not play with it or challenge it, but he ran away from it. You see, the challenge is to train students that would live a life of leadership, integrity, and excellence. But it's just but a lie. Yes, The world can train them to be a great leader. The world can train them to be of good integrity. The world can train them to be excellent in what they do. But there's something missing in what we should invest in the next generation. We're not just supposed to invest in just leadership. We're not just supposed to invest in integrity and excellence. But without faith, without establishing them in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for them, everything that they have learned, everything that who they are now, is just but a lie. That's why one of the amazing things that we can learn from Joseph from the beginning, that God started honoring him, that started elevating him, that started promoting him, was this. Joseph was a man of faith. He was a young man who has faith in God. You see, for us to see change happen, we need God to be with us. There's no change that's going to happen in your situation. There's no change that's going to happen in your life if God is not with you. I couldn't be where I am right now if not for the message of the gospel. And here's what happened. Genesis 39, 2 and 3, the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39, 5 to 6, the Lord was in all that he had. God was in everything that Joseph was doing. That's why he was successful. That's why he was able to become a good leader. He was able to live a life of integrity, and he became an excellent leader simply because God was with him. You see, as a movement, it is our commitment to prepare students for life, for leadership, for integrity, for faith, and for excellence. He was a young man who had faith, and he lived and embraced this. Because God was with him, he was able to transform the situation around him. God was with him. God with us will change the world as we live lives of leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence. It has to start from us. If you want to change your family, if you want to change the situation in your workplace, then you got to embrace the change that God is about to bring to your life. God will use you to change your future. God will use you to change your campus. God will use you to change your nation. And God will use you to change this world. But before you can do that, God has to change your world to change our world. Before you can change this world, God has to change your world. And what happened to Joseph, after all the suffering that he has to go through, after all that, it came to this conclusion. As for you, he was talking to his brother who sold him to Egypt. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You see, where God is putting you right now, probably you're in a season of waiting for God's promise in your life. Probably you're believing God for something and it's getting too slow. And you're holding on to these promises, and instead of holding on to these promises, that promise, because it's been too long, it's turning out to be a lie. Let me tell you here right now, human setbacks can actually be God's powerful tool for his divine setup to work in us. Because why? He has a massive purpose for all of us. And he has to put us into a season of waiting. He has to put us in a season where nothing is left in us. And we can trust only to God. And that's what happened to Joseph. He was placed in a position that he did not have friends. He did not have his family around him. But he only had God. And he understands that when he has God with him, he can actually have everything. Allow me to show you a video of one of our leaders back then when he was in college. His name is Al Gumandol. He came from a family of Muslim. It started from his sister, and then he got saved and all that. And the rest is history. Let's watch this video.
Nagaw ko sa pamilya na Muslim, agi silang practices of belief. Gilagot yung ko sa papa. Sira ko rebuildi, sigira ko pangbarkada, kadi ko ganyan makakita sa papa sa mong balay. First year ko sa una siliman, honor pa kay ko, wala ko yung mga amigo, and gin-invite ko sa ate, youth service. Ano ko, sige, adto ko. Kaya wala po gihim mo, kaya Friday man sa gabi. And adto ko, makuhaan ba? Nanong yung mga tao kay they're raising their hands. Ayun, wala na po na ako to. Ayun, pag-intercede sa pastor kay, there's a word of him ba na, grabe kayo yung impact na meron akong question sa sarili ko na sino ba talaga si Jesus. And finally, invite ko sa ang ate sa youth service na parang grabe yung freedom ba at peace na makikita mo sa heart mo na yung dati na hurt ka pa, but yung i-restore ka ni Jesus na you should honor your father, which is ako mo yung panglima na to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Karon, I had really good quality time with my parents, especially sa akong papa. I'm praying that as I continue to be faithful, na gusto ko siyang i-honor, na He will know Jesus through me. God promised that one person in your family is saved, the whole household will be saved also. I pray that they will see the life I have in Christ, and that one day they will also decide to accept Him as their Lord and Savior.
Just an update, his sister is now a campus missionary in Dipolog, and he's faithfully serving in our kids' church. Guess what? Everyone in their household is saved except the father na lang. You see, that's what's going to happen when we invest in the next generation. We're talking about the next generation here, and some of you will say na, pang ilahara na, I'm not part of it. If you are from the older generation, if you're not a student anymore, you're working, you're a family, guess what? You can actually take part of changing this nation by investing in the next generation. Sometimes we're just so caught up living our own lives that we miss to understand that there is a generation next to us rising up. If no one's going to invest them, someone else will invest in their destiny, in what God has called them to be. And if we miss to invest in them, we miss the opportunity of seeing this nation transform and seeing this world live the better life. For parents here, you have kids right now. You have babies to raise up. And you look at the students and you're, how can I be part, John? I have a baby, I'm raising up this child, and guess what? If you don't raise up the next generation, if you don't invest in the next generation, then you miss the opportunity to prepare a better nation for your kids. Why? Because their future leader is in the campus. Silliman University had one president, Carlos Garcia, the 8th president of the Philippines. If we had that chance to disciple the next president, he is in the campus, then we're going to do it all together. Not just as a movement, but all together, all of us have a role to play. And you know how some of us can actually simply live it out? By simply living a life that honors God, you are setting up an example for the next generation to live up. And those next generation will live up also honoring God. But like I said a while ago, God wants to change this nation. God wants to change this world. And He's calling each and every one of us, yes, all of us, all of us, not just a student, not just the full-time ministers, but all of us are called to take part in the change that God's going to do in this nation. But here's my invitation. Before God can actually use you to change this nation, He has to introduce Himself to you so that He can change your life before He can.